You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est un bon but! Ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they work the young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBee.TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground. Your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
I am muted. There we go. Unmute. Marinaro on this Thursday, March 14. The Canadiens lose by a score of 2-1 to the Boston Bruins on a goal in overtime by the Bruins. Much better than the 9-4 loss that they suffered in Boston back on the 20th of January. But then again, a loss is a loss is a loss, but maybe not. Marty St. Louis yesterday talked about players having pride, talked about wanting to avenge that 9-4 loss, talked about being ready. And he's been talking about attitude. It seemed like some players had the pretty good attitude tonight. The Canadiens were ready to play a much tighter game, a much more defensive game. And Marty St. Louis talks about managing the risk factor. Well, they didn't manage it very well in overtime, or at least Mike Matheson did not. And it came back to bite him. A counterattack by the Boston Bruins on a turnover leads to a 2-on-1. And there you have the game-winning goal. There's so much to talk about. A lot of Bruins fans in the city. Always special when the Canadiens play the Bruins. The Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, a leading full-service logistics provider serving all of North America. Driven to be different. Also brought to you in part by LaBitte.TB, brewed in Quebec, winner of a dozen international awards. LaBitte.TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. LaBitte.TB, embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines, and weekly events, karaoke Mondays, comedy Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, and much more. Discover their latest additions, ETC Steakhouse, Drunken Dragon's Exquisite Sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounge's Mezza and Cocktails. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment, just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Visit playground.ca for more details, and also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solution. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. And it's funny because when I see every time I see Accent's phone number, I think of my buddy Sergio Momesso. Their number is 363-3636. Call the Accent team today, tonight, tomorrow, and get the right solution at the right price. Once again, 363-3636. Without further ado, let's bring him in. He's former NHLer, Phil Boucher. Comment ça va?
Très bien, merci toi, Tony.
Good, good. I'm doing extremely well. Phil, I have to tell you, I was downtown earlier today. And I don't usually spend a lot of time in downtown Montreal, with the exception of you know, doing my TV hits weeknights. But I'm further into downtown at that point on Alexandre de Sèvres and de Maisonneuve. But earlier today, I was in the heart of downtown, right? I was on Rennie Levesque and, pardon me, I was on St. Catherine and Crescent Street, right? And made my way over to Hurley's Irish Pub because Jimmy Murphy and Pierre Maguire were there. They have a podcast on the Sick Podcast Network called The Eye Test. And Jimmy's in for St. Patrick's Day weekend, of course. Pierre was in too, and Jimmy's in because he covers the Bruins. And so I made my way there. Phil, if I hadn't gone downtown today, I would have never thought that there was still so many Bruins jerseys that I saw today for game day. So there's so many in the city. They were out and about. And there's actually, you know, a bunch of them came down from Boston. St. Patrick's Day, of course, is on Sunday the 17th. They came down, watched the game tonight, celebrated today, celebrate tomorrow in the pubs, celebrate Saturday in the pubs. the parade on Sunday and celebrate all day Sunday, and then maybe go back on Sunday night. But it just goes to show you, Phil, even though the rivalry is nowhere as close as to where it used to be, nowhere as intense, especially in the 70s when it was at its best. But even though the Canadians are in a rebuild and Boston's one of the better regular season teams in the league, that rivalry is never going to die, Phil. It's nice to see.
Well, people from Boston know how to party, right? Sunday, you know, and Montreal's a pretty good town to do so. So it's a good good weekend for them to come down. And it's too bad that the rivalries, like, honestly, I think it took them, what, 3-4 months into the season before they played their first game, Montreal and Boston. And you know, we only hope that it can look like what we've seen tonight, that Boston will stay a playoff team forever. Seems like they have been a playoff team forever. And if Montreal plays like that and keeps improving and keep – did you watch the press conference of Martin St-Louis after the game?
So as a matter of fact, I did. Yes, we'll get to it in a second.
And it's kind of tough. How cocky did he look? Honestly, I like that. If they can take his demeanor, his confidence, and what he's trying to instill in them, Montreal is going to be a playoff team sooner or later. Back to the rivalry, then we can have a true rivalry. We can maybe see them play in the playoffs. That, because that's where you really do build rivalries. There's natural rivalries. Montreal should have a rivalry with Ottawa, but it's not going to happen. They've never met in the playoffs, and it's close by, but they've had one forever with Boston.
Pardon me, they have met in the playoffs. They've met twice in the playoffs with the Ottawa Senators.
Nothing to compare with what has happened through history with Montreal and Boston, and we're hoping. And to be honest, there's not that many – there's a lot of people from New England and Boston area that might be down in Montreal, but there's a lot. I'm from Quebec City, and there's a lot of Bruins fans in Quebec City. A lot of my friends that I grew up with are Bruins fans, and they might have been there tonight too. So,
yeah. So you know what? I want to get back to that rivalry for a second, and just to let you know that the first game this season between the Canadians and the Bruins actually happened exactly 1 month into the season. All right. Because opening night was October 11 in Toronto and the Canadians hosted the Boston Bruins on Saturday, November 11th. So that was the first time they won by a score of 3-2. The Canadians did. Yeah. And then they played them 1 week later in Boston. They lost by a score of 5-2. They played them back on January 20th in Boston. They lost 9-4. And of course, tonight they had a chance to even that series, but they weren't able to pull it off, and they lose by a score of 2-1. But you know, the Canadians and the Bruins have to play each other more than four times, because if you don't play each other in the playoffs, like you just mentioned, and they have so many times, but if you don't at one point, and you don't play each other that much in the regular season, it kind of, you kind of lose some of that rivalry, right? Wouldn't you like to see the Canadians and the Bruins play each other more often?
Oh, would I ever? And it'd be natural to see them play. It would rekindle that rivalry. But there's a certain player named Connor Bedard or Connor McDavid. And if we want to see them here in Montreal once a year, then everybody has to play each other once on the road and at home. That's the problem with 32 teams. And if we do go to 34, Montreal is going to play less and less against Boston. But that being said, I wish they would. I wish they would play a little bit more against one another. Probably same can be said for the New York teams that are right the bus division there. They're minutes away from each other and they don't play each other all that much. So that's the way the NHL is built right now with 32 teams and the need to promote certain players in certain markets.
All right, why don't we do this? Let's get to the lineup if we can. The opening lineup, well, the roster for the Canadians and for the Bruins. Suzuki with Slafkovský and Caulfield still together. Newhook with Armia and Joshua Roy. Evans with Anderson and Gallagher. White with Harvey Pinard and Pearson. Matheson, Gouley, Jack Eye, Savard, Harris, Kovacevic, Samuel Montembeau gets the starting goal for the Bruins. Coyle with DeBrusque on his right, Marchand on his left. Zacha with Pasternak on his right and Heinen on his left. Geeky, Brazo, and Frederick, Boquist, Loco, and Beecher, Lorai, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo, Witherspoon, and Peaky. And it was Ullmark who got the starting goal. Speaking of which, did you see when Mike Matheson threw his body into Brazo the way Matheson went flying in period number one? Did you see that?
Yeah.
My God. Big body. Is that kid heavy or what?
Yeah, there's some big boys really in the league right now, right? One in New York that's been much talked about lately, but there's some big boys in the league.
The fact that Mike Pezzetta didn't play in this game versus the Bruins, where you would want a presence like that, not that they're not the Bruins with the Lucic and Sean Thornton and Chara and all those guys. They're not, but you would have thought like an energy game, you need an energy player, and he doesn't play. Est-ce que, as they say en français, les patates sont cuites pour Pezzetta, or you'll see him as a 13 for years to come?
I have a lot of respect for him, and there's a reason why. When Martin was talking about grab a chair early in training camp, right, early this year, well, Pezzetta has had a chair since last year, and sometimes you wonder why, right? He's pretty tough. Jack Hyde is much tougher. Do you need two guys like that in the lineup? He must be very good in the locker room. A lot of guys made a lot of money and spent a lot of years in the NHL because they were first good players. They were good in the locker room. But why would Pezzetta be in the lineup tonight? I would trust that Martin dressed the right guys tonight because they did a good job. They played really well against a very good team tonight. Is Pezzetta in danger for next year? Well, if Roy plays like that, if some of the younger guys keep playing well and have a chance to move up with the team, and if Montreal grabs free agents, right? Do you need a goalie now for Montreal? No, they got two. They got two good ones. They're going to need the time. Do they need an extra defenseman? No, they don't need an extra defenseman. If they have money to spend, if they can free up some cap space, they'll be up front. And then Pezzetta might be in danger for next year. But I don't see – I'm fine with him not playing tonight. The problem I have in this lineup, to be honest with you, it's Colin White. Why is Colin White in Montreal? I like to – when I was in junior hockey, I never – I played in the NHL a long time, but I was a GM for quite some time in major junior hockey. And I like to recycle first-round picks and give them another chance. But was that the right call to do when he had Alex Barry-Boulet on waivers the same day? I would have gave a chance to Barry Boulet because I think Montreal needs some help on the wing. But so that's the only question mark I have in the lineup right now is Colin White. Would Pezzetta would have been better with in the lineup tonight? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's get to the score sheet if we can. Yep. So here we have it. Period number one. That's when the two goals came in regulation. That is, and it's Heinen. 4:49 in. Phil, as a guy who played defense in the National Hockey League for a long time, I don't know how many times you had a chance to watch this goal back with a replay. I watched it several times, okay? And Pasternak's got the puck by the right boards. I believe. I'm sorry.
You hear me?
Okay. For whatever reason, I'm getting back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Do you hear me? Hello? We lost Phil. Are we going to get Phil back? We're trying to get back Phil. All right. We're trying to get back Phil. I'm not so sure I know what happened there. But anyway, I wanted to mention to Phil that it seemed like there was some confusion on the play where, you know, Jack Eye was on Pasternak at one point. Savard went to Zacha. Heinen went to the front of the net. Pasternak takes a shot. And then at one point, it looks like Jack Eye calls over to Caulfield and tells him, you get him. I got to go back to the front of the net. Suzuki was kind of like in a no man's land, not knowing, do I cover down low or do I cover up high and grab a defenseman? And then Slafkovský ends up nearest to Heinen, who's able to jump on that puck, win that puck before Slafkovský can, and jam it home. But it seemed like there was a lot of confusion. I'm not pinning it on Slafkovský. As a matter of fact, I wish I would have had the opportunity to talk to Marty St. Louis about it and see what's going on. But anyway. There seems to be a tremendous amount of confusion in defensive zone coverage and when to play. For whatever reason, they've been playing man to man a lot this year. Most teams don't play man to man. I've mentioned this before. I spoke with a former NHL defenseman who told me, Tony, I really didn't like man to man when I played. Because it absolves, you know, it removes responsibility from a lot of people because, you know, some players will say, well, I had my man. That wasn't my man. I think we got him back. Phil, you there?
Yeah. So, yeah, my bad there. I was trying to rewatch the goal while we were speaking.
Look, it's all good. And I'm happy if you did have a chance to see the goal back. Yeah. But I was mentioning that it seemed like there was a lot of confusion, Phil. In the defensive zone where Pasternak had the puck. I think Jack Eye was going after him. Savard committed to get Zacha, Zacha who had the puck, and then to Pasternak. And then once Pasternak shoots the puck, it seems like Jack Eye leaves Pasternak, looks over at Caulfield, says, you get him. Yeah. Suzuki's kind of stuck in between down low coverage or getting a point man. He's in no man's land. Slafkovský finds himself closest to the guy who the puck ends up on his stick, which is Heinen. And I was talking about the Canadians playing man to man. And I was saying that I spoke with a former NHL defenseman about a week ago who told me, he says, Tony, I hated man to man. I really did because it takes away responsibility from a lot of guys. I had my man. It's not my problem. It's his problem.
The first thing I was told when I entered the NHL by a few of the veteran Ds, Doug Bodger and a bunch of guys I played with, Randy Moeller, they said, never trust the forwards. It was kind of funny at the time, and it was and they wouldn't trust us offensively. But the one thing when I wasn't sure where to be, I was always told just stay in front of the net and then react from there. It's like in basketball, the key, right? You have the key in basketball. You can't Correct. Really spend time in there. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I don't know all the rules, but in the key, if you picture that on a hockey rink, if you put five bodies in there, not much bad can happen. They'll move the puck around, right? So when you do play man to man, and then if you do picture the guys in the key, you would have your two defense in front, right? So when you do play a certain system, which is more zone or press or whatever you want to call it, you would have one D in the corner. The center would support him. I called it layer defense when I coached it. The D would go in first, or the center would go, or the F1 would go. And we always keep a defenseman in front. And if a forward was in front, you would switch with him. So on that goal, when you see Slavkovsky's not used to being in front of the net. That's the problem with man-to-man. Like, you'll have defensemen that will move up to the blue line, and you have forwards that will react to their players, and then and they will go to the front of the net. And you're not used to being in that position. You never grew up playing like that. You don't know. You don't know how to take the stick away. You don't know how to react to rebounds. You're not used to block shots as much. It's the same when I was traded to Pittsburgh on the power play. I'm a defenseman. I'm used to being on the blue line. I was an offensive defenseman that used my shot and could find like shooting lanes and blades in front of the net and shoot for rebounds. They asked me to be like Christopher Letang a little bit and go to the front of the net and go to the corners and move around. And I was completely lost. I didn't know what to do. And then for a lot of those young players, I think young forward, even veterans that have been in the league for a long time, like Gallagher, when you go man to man and you get stuck in front of the net, you don't really know what to do. And that's a perfect example, I think, of what happened on that first goal.
All right. Okay. So in your opinion, it's they're playing man to man there, and Slavkovsky's not used to man to man. Is that it?
Well, no, he's trying to. He's not used to being in front of the net by himself. If I can look at it again, when there's a shot, there's a rebound, Slavkovsky's in front of the net. He's not used to. When you look at, I have it in front of me. He follows his guy. His guys go to the front of the net. You have a D that's trying to block the shot. Savard is just skating around because that's what he's asked to do. Savard is skating around with another forward, and all of a sudden, Slavkovsky, and trust me, the other teams know that. There's a lot of motion between the forwards and the D offensively with the teams that are playing the Montreal Canadiens, because that's exactly what they want. They want to bring Ds up and forwards down low and then try to create offense that way.
Back to the score sheet if we can, because the Montreal Canadiens end up tying this game at 1, which came probably give or take about just over 10 minutes after Heinen puts the Bruins up 1-0. And it's Suzuki and Slavkovsky. Slavkovsky, what a pass, a presence of mind to find Suzuki. You know, there's a lot of players that have the puck where Slavkovsky is. They're probably thinking, shoot, shoot, shoot. A year ago, it was kind of like a little bit of a panic mode, right? Like he's either overhandling the puck, or he's muffing the puck, or he ends up missing, whether it's a shot or a pass. Now everything has slowed down for him so much. It's a beautiful pass that Slavkovsky makes to Suzuki, who goes up and over Ullmark to tie the game at 1.
From just about the same area that he wasn't too comfortable in defensively, he's very comfortable, and he's aware of his surrounding. He's a hell of a player. You know, I think we've been hard on him because once you get a first pick, you expect it's going to be a Connor Bedard. He's going to be very, very good. You know, we saw his one-timer last game. We know he can move the puck. He's been throwing his body around. He's growing to himself, right? He's learning to use his body. He's learning to use his vision. He's gaining in confidence. He's playing with better players. He belongs on that first line, whether it's on the first or second line with Kirby Dach next year. To me, he's the best player the Montreal Canadiens have had in a long, long time. And because he's aware, he's confident, he knows he can make plays. He knows he can he's a double threat, triple threat. He can use his body. He can move the puck. He can shoot it. And we saw it. It looks like a simple play, but it's not. Like a lot of the guys you said, they would have turned around and shoot that, or he made the right play. He knows he can shoot. He knows he can pass. And he made the right decision on that. And Suzuki is going to score a lot more goals with him on the wing. Nothing wrong with Cole Caulfield, but Cole Caulfield's a goal scorer, is a decent passer, and Slavkovsky can do both, and Suzuki can do both also.
All right, so, you know, they go to the Canadians. Suzuki picks up a 4-minute penalty late in the game. The Canadians kill it off brilliantly, and I have to tell you, and it's been this way for the last 2 months, I've never been the president of the UOL Armia fan club. I never will be, because Armia has struggled with consistency and plays like one in every five for the most part. And if there's something that drives me crazy, that absolutely drives me crazy. But I have to tell you, I think Armia has been really good now for a while. And tonight, on that penalty kill and a couple of shifts in particular, he looked like a man possessed, Phil.
Try to forget about how much money he's making. Try to forget about his age. It's still a learning process for him. And if he was more consistent, obviously, he probably would have stayed in Winnipeg. It would have been a mainstay in Montreal. But he went to Laval, didn't say a word. I saw him play in Laval. I saw my son play when he was with Belleville. I saw him play there. We'd play one game in Toronto. Montreal would go back there, wouldn't say a word, try to learn from it. He's an NHL caliber player. And obviously, I'm not sure you are, but I'm very happy that Savard never moved, that he's going to help a lot of players, not just the defensemen on the team, but he's going to help a Joshua Hua on and off the ice. But Joel Armia, I'm kind of happy that he didn't move, because first of all, he probably had no value at all. Who would you called up if you would have traded him, unless you got a decent prospect? No, nobody's really ready in Laval right now. And if next year you might compete, you think you have a decent team, and he plays like that, he's going to help you. He's never, ever going to hurt you on the third line when he's on the second line tonight. But when he's well-intended, when he wants to block shots, he blocked three or four shots against Columbus. He can play in the NHL, and he can really help Montreal until other young players are ready to move up.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of which, though, there's something that drives me a little bit crazy. I understand there's a numbers game right now in Montreal. Yeah. And, you know, if Pezzetta doesn't play, with all due respect to him, it's not the end of the world. Pezzetta's ceiling, I think we've seen it. Yeah. He's just one of those players that he is who he is right now. But, you know, you either play for Montreal or you play for Laval.
Yeah.
And Jaden Struble tonight is a healthy scratch and he's not playing. Like,
mm-hmm.
Is it me? Like, it's okay. Once again, it's a numbers game. I get it. But if you made the decision that Struble's going to be here, he's got to play, does he not?
Well, you need 7Ds on the roster, probably. So, and then you're going to have a rotation. I've been thinking about that one all day, to be honest with you. And then should the NGC was asking us today, and you were talking, should they go back to Laval, him and Hua, and try to make the playoffs there? Well, I think there's a lot to learn to stay in the NHL, to be under Martin St. Louis umbrella, and to learn and to compete. There's a lot more to learn against the Boston Bruins tonight for Hua and Harris that played than to go in Laval and play against Belleville. That being said, I think there'll have to be a rotation. The thing that trumped everything, I believe, is Jack Eye. They sent Jack Eye to Laval. They weren't too sure. They didn't want him to fight. They did that for his own good and for the best of the player, and he's making the most of it. And to be honest, I think Jack Eye, I said that about a month ago, he has the ability to be an untouchable in Montreal. And then because Suzuki will be, Caulfield might be, Slavkovsky will be, Gouley you need to keep. We never talk about Gouley, but he's playing like a vet. He had a really, really good game tonight. But Jack Eye can be different. And the only problem he had, I thought, is he couldn't really be reliable on discipline. He took a lot of penalties, a lot of stupid penalties, really never really knew when to fight, when not to fight. And he could not play against top-handed players or first or second line. Now, all that being said, he's doing it. He's playing with Savard. He's plus two, plus three every night or whatever. Scores a goal here and there. And then when I thought Struble was in front of him, now like he's really a top four, and there's going to be a rotation in there, and which is fine. There's nothing wrong with Struble tonight watching the game from upstairs. He's going to play the next game. Primo had a shutout, and usually what do? You play him next game while Primo had a shutout, and then they didn't follow that rule or whatever. And they know exactly where they're going with their players. They're going to play a certain amount of games for the rest of the year. Nobody's going to sit out for a long time. It doesn't hurt you to watch one game. It hurts you to watch 13 when Larry Robinson sat you for that long in L.A. and I was about the same age, and I wouldn't know where really well. Long story short, one goal, one assist, plus two the following game, two fights, and he set me again. So I don't know why, but it happens sometimes. But that's really tough when you sit out for a long time. But if you do it here and there, because you don't want to
Had a chance to talk to him about that?
Yeah, we did. We had a long talk about that. We had a team meeting about that. And it was okay. I probably deserved to
did
be
you,
set.
Did you buy what the coach was selling? Did you buy what he was telling you?
No,
or?
No, not really. No. Not after a goal and an assist plus two, you lose 3-2 and you get two fights. You should play the next game. But, hey, I love Larry. One of the best men I ever met in hockey. But what I'm trying to say is they're not going to do that in Montreal. Harris played pretty well tonight. He's probably going to sit out. Jack Hyde made himself. He can't scratch him. And Kovacevic might be the one that's going to miss a game the next time. I don't mind it. You want Laval to make the playoffs, but you want the guys there. How do you feel if he goes down for a game, takes somebody's spots, he doesn't want to be there, he takes bad habits, he comes back. And then you put him in the lineup, you send Harris for a game. I don't think you want to play that that musical
chair
with the D's.
Well, you could take the decision to send him down till the end of the year.
Yeah, who are you going to call up? Somebody needs to come up. So you're going to sit out Barron for the next four games? You need seven Ds at least. An NHL team to me is eight Ds. It's easier if you're on the road to play a D up front. If emergency call ups, it's a lot easier nowadays. But most teams would have 13 forwards and eight Ds. So it's normal that they keep seven in Montreal.
You talked about Gouley. I actually find that Gouley has struggled in the last month compared to what he's been used to showing us. Mm-hmm. I also understand what's going on. You got a 22-year-old defenseman. Yeah. He's playing on an average team. Let's face it, below average team. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. Who gets the second most ice time of any defenseman on the team. Yeah. And that's been going on for a couple of months now. And is asked to play the right side of defense. Mm-hmm. As a guy, once again, who played defense in the National Hockey League, how tough is it? Can you begin to describe the situation this guy's in right now? A young defenseman who's the second most used, who's playing 62 games, the most games he's ever played at the National Hockey League level, because last year was his rookie season. He played 44, and he's playing on the offside.
Okay, I'll try to picture it to you. Dave Tippett came to me years ago and said, hey, have you ever played? I was a right-handed defenseman. He said, would you mind playing the left side? I'm like, oh, never played really the left side other than on the one-timer on the power play. He's well, are you going to play with Zubov? Do you want to play with Zubov on the left side? I'll go play with Zubov, the best player in our team on the left side. And he made me a very, very good player. Flip that around now. You go to a young player that's 22 years old, starting in the NHL, and you go, well, listen, you might probably never played your off wing other or offside other than on a power play in junior, but we need you on the top pair, playing against top players every night, playing 21, 22, 23 minutes a night, and cover up for your partner, Madison, that I like a lot. I like him a lot, but he's not perfect. We've seen it tonight. You're going to cover for him on top of that. So that shows you how much confidence the staff has in him. And that's big time mileage that he's getting right now. Because whenever they find a way next year, whatever the pairings are going to happen to be, whatever the best fit is going to be, if he's on the first or second pair and he goes back to the left side, imagine how comfortable he's going to be and how much experience he's gained this year. But that's a huge show of confidence for Martin Saint-Louis or Stéphane Robida to say, even though you're a young player, you'll play your offside. You're going to be on the top pair. I know you're going to make some mistakes. I know it's going to be tough for you because you're going to play every night in your face. You get the best players in the NHL, but you can do it. We're going to live with your mistakes. That's good mileage for you. And that I think that, to me, it shows what the organization thinks of him. And Montreal, even though he struggled some, the Canadians have played well recently. And there's a reason for that. Why do Jack Eye looks better on the second pair? It's because he's not on the first pair of defensemen. He's not. He can't really go there. They've tried it with Struble. They've tried it with a couple guys, and he's the one that's eating the minutes and taking the hits once in a while. And I think he's doing well.
This was Marty Saint-Louis yesterday, reminded of the Canadiens 9-4 loss back on January 20th and trying to set up the game, asking about, you know, how important this game was for his team. And if he thought that they were, they remembered that loss. This is a clip once again yesterday. Yeah. Let's watch it.
You played Boston. It was 9-4, albeit not a 9-4 game.
Yeah.
Do you want memory of that to be in your players' minds?
Yeah, I think they remember that. And I, if I remember correctly, it was a pretty close game going to the third, right? Was it a tie game? And we were down one, maybe? I think we were down one. It did. Yeah, sure did. That's an understatement. Yeah, it got away fast. Very far, too. But, yeah, I mean, I think as players are proud, right? And then they're coming in our building. You know, I feel the two nights we went there this year, I feel they were honoring something, you know? And you know, actually, we played better the second game. The first game we played there, we weren't good at all. And actually, like, I felt like that game springboarded us to a better place. But that second game we played there, we were pretty good. Not perfect, but we were battling. Obviously, the third period was what it was. But, you know, I think they're coming into our building now, and the guys will remember that for sure.
So you heard him, what he said. The guys are proud. They're going to remember that. He also joked at the loss. Yeah, he got away fast, and that was an understatement, he said. But, you know, he's a coach. He wants to win every game. Of course, we all know that every coach does. But when he goes back to his coach's room after the game, after seeing what he just saw, they hung there with the Boston Bruins. They didn't give up a ton of shots. They didn't give up a ton of scoring chances. They lose this game in overtime. He's got to say, what?
Okay. Players are proud. Coaches are proud, too. I can't believe Martin St-Louis was too proud of what happened when he was in Boston and the coaching staff. And to me, in that game, it got away. If I can say that, I was in his shoes, but I was in his shoes at the junior level when I was named a coach. I coached a Bantam team to a junior team, replacing Patrick Waugh, Peewee team to an NHL team. And two things that I thought was very hard for me was a neutral zone. How to coach a neutral zone, maybe for Martin as a forward, it was a little bit easier. And the other one was when to take my goalie out for momentum, for good reasons, for trying to win a hockey game. They learned that night. I remember that night I was watching the game. I'm like, why? Why do you leave Montembeau in there? Montembeau played well tonight. And then tonight I talked about it when the first minute we talked tonight. Did you see Martin? Did you see his look, the smirk on his face tonight, how proud he was?
Yeah.
Right? They're learning as a coaching staff. The team is playing well.
The team is playing hockey. Yeah. You just brought up something, though. Pardon me. It's because I want to tackle this before I end up losing my train of thought here is that the goalie, a couple of times this year, he kept the goalie in for too long. He kept Montembeau in for eight goals.
Toughest decision to make when I was a coach in junior. And then sometimes, maybe at the pro level, it's easier because they're not kids, but sometimes you just go, your team is playing like, I don't know if I can say it, playing.
Yeah, crap. You could say it's a podcast. Playing don't like, worry about it. We're not one of these big corporations.
Your team is playing like Hansen. Your team's playing like shit. You change the goalie. You go, hey, it's not your fault. You give shit to your team and say, you left them hanging. But you change the goalie, momentum, then maybe you win the game or you put your goalie back in the second or third period. But it's a tough decision to make. You don't want to hurt any feelings. Maybe at the NHL level, you don't want to hurt anybody's feeling in that. But when you leave him in there, and to me, I thought it was the toughest decision to make when I learned to coach, because that's what I had to do for 5 years. So day one, I never coached a game at that level. And I think for Martin over the last 2 years, a couple of times, if you do want to win the game, and right now I think Montreal wants to win games. They're not trying to win the Connor Bedard sweepstake. There's a couple of times they could have changed the goalie over the last year. And that was one of them where the coaching staff said, he said it, we were playing pretty well and he got out of hand in a hurry. Well, there's certain things coaches can do too. They look at themselves in the mirror also. When I was coaching, I would look at myself in the mirror as a player. And I'm pretty sure they did that after that game. And there's a reason why Martin, I enjoy, well, he's always good in press conference, yeah, but he was very cocky or proud of his team, and for the right reasons tonight.
Didn't you leave Jake Allen in for 7 of 7 versus the St. Louis Blues, yeah, I believe?
Oh, yeah.
I think Primo was in for 5 goals at one point, and they all beat him the same way. Yeah. By the way, speaking of Allen, if I'm reading correctly here, he gave up his first goal on the first shot against them 15 seconds into the game. He actually gave up 2 goals on the first 3 shots by Dallas in this hockey game. But guess what? He makes a ton of saves. He stops 35 of 37 tonight as Dallas outshoots New Jersey 37-20. But Jake Allen and the Devils win by a score of 6-2.
There was some big games tonight.
There was a statement.
This time of the year, there's tons of them.
Yeah. Carolina made a statement on Florida, beating them 4-0. I mean, that's, you know, everyone's been talking about Florida walking away and winning the East now. And Carolina, that was their way of saying hello.
Yeah, and hold on. I got to mention something because I took some heat last year when I was talking about Zach Benson on your podcast. I was called a whatever, many names when I said Montreal should think about draft, not by you. They should think about drafting him or moving back to get him. Might not have been the best decision because Caulfield is a small forward who's got 2 goals tonight, Zach Benson. And I, by the way, I went on X, Twitter X, and he tied me for it. And we're 228 on the Sabres list for points tonight. So I'm very proud of the kid. I had him with Team Canada U17. I've loved him since day one. And he's with Mittelstadt moving, he's getting more ice time, playing well. Could the Sabres be a playoff team this year? I don't know. But with Bo and Byron, that was a good trade. Really, really good trade. So there were some big games being played in the NHL.
I think it was a good trade for both teams. You know,
it should work out that way. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Benson, 9 goals, 14 assists, 23 points in 56 games.
Five points in the last 2 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Not bad for a rookie. Not bad for a rookie. Once again, undersized, but you said it. You said, you know what? This is a kid that you see. You put your name on the line, and you said this kid's going to play in the National Hockey League, and he's going to be a good player. So good for you for bringing it up. All right, okay. Let's get back to. So the Canadians kill off that penalty late in the third.
Yep.
They go to overtime. We saw the goal. It's 3-on-3 hockey. Caulfield, Suzuki, and Matheson. Matheson decides to pinch. He's in the offensive zone. Yeah. He gets stripped of the puck by Hampus Lindholm. Mm-hmm. And Caulfield was going towards where Matheson was. So he was like also caught in no man's land there. And then it goes from Brad Marchand and DeBrusque, Jake DeBrusque, on a 2-on-1 with Suzuki being the last man back. You saw Matheson's reaction after the game. He was really upset with himself. Once again, you talked about, I like the player, even though he's not perfect. That's the example, right? Great skater, great offensive instincts, but every now and then there's some mental blocks, there's some giveaways, there's some turnovers. It's part of his game.
Well, he's upset himself, but 3-on-3, it's a totally different game. So 3-on-3, you're asking, sometimes teams would go with 3 forwards, right? So you're asking players to do different things that they do 5-on-5. He was a lead rusher on that. He stayed down low. If I'm a forward coach, I go to Caulfield and I say, you can't go in there. Caulfield created the 2-on-1, not Matheson, right? It is a giveaway in the corner, but if Caulfield stays back, again, it's 2 forwards in uncomfortable positions skating backwards on a 2-on-2, but nothing should happen. They're good players that they can handle that. So Caulfield goes in there. Matheson, right, he could have peeled back earlier in the play, but when he doesn't, I think Caulfield's got to cover, and then Suzuki needs to learn to play a 2-on-1. Give the shot. Trust your goalie. Don't let the pass go across.
The percentage of Matheson pulling off what he tried to accomplish, though, by trying to go through everybody on the ice, like that, it's a very low percentage. But
well, when I said earlier in the podcast, don't trust the forwards, right? And when I was at D's, whatever system we play, it's what's coming at us. So he went there. What was coming at the forwards at Caulfield was to peel back. So Montreal was trying to win that game. To me, on that, it's just you don't want to let teams create 2-on-1s on that one, and or in overtime or any situations. And they made it very easy on Boston to win that one, unfortunately.
You talked to us before about how much you like Juraj Slafkovský. There was, I think the NHL put up something on X. Let's see if we have it. Most points in a season by a player age 19 or younger in franchise history. Mario Tremblay, 39 points. Stefan Richer, 37 points. Juraj Slafkovský, 35 points. It's pretty good company with the exception of Kotkaniemi. I don't know what he's doing in there, but anyway, it's Kotkaniemi, 34 points, and Henri Richard at 34 points. Also, another stat we can bring up is he's got the second most points of any teenager right now in the National Hockey League. It's him and Connor Bedard.
Listen, that it's pretty impressive when you think about it. I didn't think Mario Tremblay was that good at 19. And when you think about the history of the Montreal Canadiens and how many good players, some of them had to wait in line, though. Probably some of them were very, very good when they were 19, but he had to wait behind a loaded team. But Slafkovský, he's a good player. And like you said, Connor Bedard is an elite player. It's a totally different world than what he's doing right now.
He's
doing what was expected of him. But how high were the expectations? How much fun is he having, and how he's going to transform that franchise? And he would have more than one team's tried to get him last year. But back to Slafkovský, it's impressive because he does it on a team that doesn't score. It's not a powerhouse. He's not surrounded by the best power play in the league, by the best QB in the league, or by the best center. I like Suzuki a lot, but no, it's pretty impressive what he's being able to do. And I think next year, I think we're realizing what we're having here in Montreal with him, and there's no doubts anymore. Everybody's happy and all that. But I think next year might be, if we can add a couple of veterans, or if Suzuki and Caulfield can gain more experience, we might see what we really have. Might be a coming out year for him next year.
Connor Bedard, 18-year-old rookie, 5'10", probably on skates, about 180, 51 points in 52 games, playing on a team that has Taylor Hall got hurt early on in the season. They got Kurashev, Foligno, Blackwell, Anderson. I mean, Radish, you know, but there's not much there. You know, on defense, Vlasic, Jones, Korchinski, Megna, Tenorti, Zaitsev, like probably the worst team in the league. They were, you know, one of the worst teams last year, one of the worst teams this year.
The problem is,
he might get 100 points next season.
Oh, he probably will. I wouldn't bet against that. And you're a betting man, I believe. I'll bet with you. I'll go along with you on that one. He's going to get 100 points and more. But they're going to have to surround him. I don't see that many good young players coming up. They're going to get a very, very good pick against this year. Again, this year, they went to get Foligno. They got Perry. It didn't work out. I think they had good intentions to surround them with good players. I didn't really look at their cap number. I think they're going to look to add veteran players to play there. I think it's going to be a very attractive place to go. If you're a left winger in the NHL looking to score more goals and have a good time and play with a good player, I think it might be easy to attract some players in Chicago to play along with them.
All right, okay. Once again, Montembeault really liked his game, really liked Caden Primo's game the other game. What would be, not that it makes a difference, but how would you what's the amount of games you're giving either or between now and the end of the year?
I think you need to show Montembeault is your number one guy. And he deserves that. So it would be two for one for the rest of the year. And they proved it, right? Primo had a shutout, 41 saves. Usually you would keep the guy in. They gave the game to Montembeault. Whatever you decide for next game, but I would go two for the rest of the year.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Do you think Primo 3 years from now could be what Montembeau is today?
Yeah. Why not? Like Montembeau was on waivers, right? 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I say. And why is it, you know, why is it unfathomable? It could happen.
Well, I'm not a big fan of how do you put it, Jordan Binnington or whatever in St. Louis. I'm not a big fan of him because of how he plays, and you think he can do whatever he wants in front of the net and take liberties on players. But he came out of nowhere to win a Stanley Cup, right, at age 25, 26. Montembeau is not going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but he's at an age where he's mature. Like when I first started in the NHL, I was lucky to play when I was 19 on D, but you used to think that you needed a year or two, and I went back to the American Hockey League. I needed a year or two to come up. Defensemen would come in at 21, 22. You know, forwards would come in maybe a little bit younger. And then goalies, a lot of them came in quite early. But nowadays, like they leave a lot of goalies. My son played in the East Coast in the American Hockey League this year. But in the East Coast Hockey League, there's a lot of very good goalies. They keep them in there. They put them number one in there. They play a lot of hockey. They move up to the American Hockey League. By the time they're 23, 24, 25, they come up in the NHL. There's no doubt the bloodline is there. He's a professional, didn't say a word, keeps getting better every time. Is he going to be the goalie that takes Montreal to the promised land? I don't know, because there's good ones coming up behind him. But I think he's proving to me he's a very, very, very capable second goalie in the NHL. And then you never know after that with time and opportunities.
How is your son doing, Phil, if you don't mind me asking?
He's struggling. He had the shoulder surgeries out for the year. So he had surgery week and a half ago. So he's struggling through the – it's a shoulder surgeries can be very painful and hard to recover from. So he took it hard, to be honest. He was in Belleville playing pretty well, and then Ottawa had other visions, so they sent him back to Three River to have a better opportunity somewhere else. Was playing well, got injured, and he's been through it before. He did the left a couple years ago. Now he's in the right shoulder, and we'll see what he's done for the year. So we'll see what's next for him next year.
Have you had an injury like that before?
Shoulder. Yeah, I've had a ton of injuries, shoulder, foot, and wrist, and eye injuries. So I feel his pain because he really had a good year, and he really believed he could make it here in North America and kept the dream alive of one day playing in the NHL. I wouldn't bet against him, but Europe could be the next step for him too next year. That'll be his decision.
All right. Yeah. Well, listen.
Thanks for asking.
Well, you're very welcome. Listen, if he goes, there's a pretty good living and a pretty good life to be had, especially if you're playing in Switzerland, eh? I know of a couple of players who played in Switzerland. I'm sure you do too. Yeah. What is it, 55, 56 game season? I think you play 2 games a week. I think the furthest bus ride is like 4.5 hours. You're probably sleeping in your own bed every night.
Yeah.
You know, every team usually has a car sponsor. You get paid pretty well. It's a pretty good life.
It looks. Yeah, you never know. I wouldn't mind going to see him. You go to Europe once in a while, right?
I go to Europe probably 2 to 3 times a year, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Listen, I wish him the National Hockey League. But for now, I wish him, a real good recovery where he's 100%. And for next year, I wish him the National Hockey League. And if that's what it is, fantastic. And if it isn't, I wish him the best wherever he goes. So please keep us informed on how he's doing, because I'm very much interested. All right.
That's what I mean.
Phil, if you don't mind, I'd like to maybe we'll answer a couple of questions before we go. Okay. Yeah. No, why don't we do that? Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, and Master Control. Before we do, why don't we talk about the Accent Insurance moment of the hockey game, or maybe even the turning point of the hockey game? Let's bring it up.
Accent Insurance moment of the game.
Look, in a game, there are usually several, but I think tonight you have to look at games decided in overtime. I think you have to look at the game-winning goal. Mike Matheson with a decision there to be the puck carrier and to try and go through the three guys. One on three, pretty much in overtime. He's on the ice with Caulfield and Suzuki. Caulfield decides to go maybe support a little bit too late instead of getting back. And as Marty St. Louis talks about, you have to know how to manage the risk. And that was a situation where they did not manage the risk very well. And The puck goes from Lindholm to Brad Marchand on a two-on-one with DeBrusque, with Suzuki the only guy back. A saucer pass over Suzuki's stick. DeBrusque picks it up on his forehand, left-handed shot. Montembeau probably thinks he's shooting right away. Listen, right away to the backhand and goal. That's your action insurance moment of the game.
The former coach in me was watching it again right now, and I disagree with you. Like, Madison went around one guy, tried to go around one guy, fumble the puck.
Yeah.
Happens. Caulfield should have stayed back. But that's the moment of the game. Caulfield should have stayed back in cover. Hey, Martin Saint-Louis said that in the press conference.
So that's the teaching moment tomorrow. If Marty decides to go back and look at the tape, he'll say, Cole, Mike takes a decision here. It's 3-on-3 hockey. He decides to go take one guy to the outside, all right?
Yeah.
And he loses that battle. The puck's turned over. Lindholm ends up getting it. But if you're back in your spot because Marchand, being an experienced vet, he's saying, okay, you know what? Let me hang over here. And if I can get that puck, boom, I'm gone. And there you have it. So that's the teaching moment, eh?
Well, if I'm Alex Burrows, that's what I say to Caulfield. If I'm Robida, what I tell Madison is, I hate that when you go in and circle back. I think the NHL should take that. You should never be able to take the puck back out of the blue line. But anyway, so maybe you tell Madison, if you realize you can't go, just come back, regroup, and go with the forwards. But Madison thought he had a chance. He just fumbled the puck. And then after that, it's the reaction of the other players that caused the goal, to me. It's still the moment of the game.
Yeah. You know, I see some of the things that are written on the chat. And Matheson, you know, he gives fans different emotions, right? Yeah. Sometimes he does amazing things and it's like, wow, love this guy. And sometimes, unfortunately, there's either a turnover or whatever it is. He's on the ice so much.
Yeah.
He handles the puck really well. He has a tremendous amount of confidence in his ability. Like, he believes, like, he can take guys on and he can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. Every now and then, it's not going to work out. Hey, nobody bats for 1,000. But, you know, I think the good far outweighs the bad when we talk about Mike Matheson.
Okay, I'm not sure I'd think what I'm going to say, but if I tell you that he's the best player on the Montreal Canadiens right now, could I be right? Could a few people agree with me? Look at the points, the minutes he's playing, the points he's getting, where he came from.
He plays more minutes than everybody else, right? So,
well, his stats are pretty good too. I don't think he is, but it's a big plus. And then, hey, the coach might not throw him under the bus, but put the pressure on him. The veteran made a mistake, but make sure you tell Caulfield to cover and teach your forwards to play 2-on-1 that play in 3-on-3. Yeah. So it's going to happen sometime.
We're probably comparing apples and oranges because you're choosing a defenseman. I'm going to choose a forward, so it's probably not fair. I'm going to tell you that Nick Suzuki is the best player on the Montreal Canadiens.
No.
But you know, I understand your point.
I agree 1,000% with you there.
Yeah. Let's get to the number one centerman. Yes?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. All right, okay. Let's get to some questions. Agnello, Sammy, Juliana, bring them up. This one here is from Rafael Corrente. Does Gouley actually have number one defense potential?
That's a question for me. I believe he has 1,000 game potential. I believe he has all the potential to be on a winning team and to be a difference maker. He's not a Kale McCarr. He's not a Sergei Zubov. But Montreal is very lucky to have him. And he's going to need, if he's going to be a number one defenseman, they can say a bona fide number one defenseman, he's going to need a solid partner next to him that's going to help him be that. But
when the Canadiens are going to be, when they're going to be, in my opinion, Phil, a legitimate Stanley Cup contender or a playoff team that can go deep, I believe that Caden Gouley will play 24 to 25 minutes in big playoff games as a shutdown defenseman. That doesn't mean he's going to that doesn't mean he'll be a number one. But it does mean that
we trust in
defensemen.
In today's hockey, we think a number one defenseman should have 60 points, which is not the case, right? If you play against Connor McDavid in the final, you shut him down, you're a number one defenseman, and he might be that.
Yeah. Other questions? Tony or Phil, do you think Montreal will sign a good free agent July 1st? I say no. Phil, you say?
I hope so. I hope so. And I think I'm a year ahead of their plan. I think they're going to look at all options. And I bring up Marchessault all the time, a guy like Marchessault or a player like that that could take pressure off of Caulfield. Get Caulfield to go on the second power play when things don't go well and put a little bit of pressure. I think the Montreal Canadiens, they're going to be a very, very good team when Suzuki, Caulfield are challenged as number one centers and number one power play guy or whatever you want to call
it. I got a question for you. Maybe so Marchessault is an example of
– Yeah.
And Gatchinou, who already won the Stanley Cup, and maybe it's a dream for him one day to play the Montreal Canadiens. So maybe he would sign for that reason, okay? But let's just say outside of that, a player who's never won a cup before and can go anywhere as an unrestricted free agent, why would they choose Montreal, who's years away? Yeah.
But to be honest,
Marchessault could make sense, right? Marchessault
could make sense.
I don't believe Vegas is going to bring back Marchessault.
Whoever you bring in, you're going to have to overpay for – sorry to say that, for tax reasons. You're going to have to overpay. And then and the environment that they create. I spend a lot of time in Florida nowadays, and they create an unbelievable environment over there with Paul Maurice, with a good team, and players want to go there. And when you get an offer, if you go dollar for dollar, it's not the same offer. That being said, there's a lot of players that believe in traditions, believe in trying to help out a team or to make a difference on a team that could be attracted by Montreal. And let's hope that with Slavkovsky, you need to – when I went to Dallas as a free agent, I wanted to win the Stanley Cup, and I wanted to play with Zubov and Kevin and Darian Atcher and those guys and Modano, and Bill Guerin signed the same day as me. You need to bring in – and I did not go there for the taxes evasion or whatever you call it. But I wanted to win there. So you need a certain attraction, or you need to pay the players a lot more. But I think in Montreal, the market, there's no buildings like Montreal. The players that are in San Jose, whoever could be a free agent in San Jose and get an offer from Montreal, okay, I want to go into a hockey market. I think they have a chance, but if you look overall, it's a lot harder for Canadian teams to bring free agents than it is for teams down in the U.S., unfortunately.
There's one challenge with the whole Marchessault thing. You know what it is, right?
Go ahead.
They're not a big team.
Yeah, I know.
They're not. Well, no, I don't think Vegas is going to bring him back. Yeah, I know. But, you know, Alex Newhook is 5'11". Nick Suzuki's 5'10.5". Cole Caulfield is probably 5'7". Rafael Harvey-Pinard is probably 5'10". You know, Brendan Gallagher, probably 5'9". Like, how many of these guys, what do they win, the cup in China?
It's a Marchessault-type player, a veteran guy. To me, they need goal scorers. And take Armia out, put Marchessault with New York and Ottawa. Do you think Montreal is a better team? And that might be your second or third line when Doc comes in. Doc is a big body. He can add big bodies to the line. I use him. I've thrown his name around all year long when I do this and with GC. But I think they're a year away. I'm hoping this summer they would do something like that. I think what we're going to see this summer is a potential trade. I'm not sure what the target is. I'm not a big fan of Zegras. I trust that if Montreal, he's not a big body player either. He's got a great connection with Caulfield, but Caulfield's got a great connection with his two line mates right now. So do you really need – I trust the Montreal Canadiens have the right people in place to make the right decisions and to get the informations if he would be a good fit. And I think if he would have been a good fit, he would have been traded now. But they have all – I think we're one more big trade away or a trade that makes sense away, and then free agency – maybe the following summer.
Yeah. Listen, Phil, at the same time, you know, and I just want to, like, it's the biggest, strongest league in the world, right? So, but I will say this, though. Even though they have, you know, all those small players that I just talked about, if you sign Marchessault for 2 years to get you out of your rebuild, to help show the guys the way and share his Stanley Cup experiences with them. By the time there'll be a team that'll be very competitive and going for that cup, he'll probably be out of the league anyway. He'll probably have retired from the National Hockey League, right? Because I think Marchessault's 34, if memory serves me well. If you sign him for 2 years, it's not the end of the world either, right? And if he loves it here, when he retires and he goes around telling everyone, you know what, I finished my career in Montreal, I loved it, it's a great message for everybody, right?
Yeah, to me, it would be a good fit. I just don't know. Maybe I was excited to watch the game tonight and to see how things are going in Montreal. And I believe I've been called crazy, but Montreal, if they stay healthy, if Kirby Dach gets on a pretty good curve of staying healthy, and then not like Slavkovsky, I don't think he's going to be as dominant, but he can be a bona fide number two center in the NHL, and then the defensive core stays the same with Savard, Madison, and whoever is going to deserves to play the big minutes and the guys that could be coming in, and the goaltending situation that's settled and improving, Montreal could be challenging for the playoffs, or they should be talked about next year at the same time, like we talked about Detroit, the Sabres, the Islanders, and not a bona fide playoff team, but a team that should be, which I thought Ottawa would do, and what a mess. Yeah. But
well, let's not forget. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that want to redeem themselves next year, but there's a bunch of teams that are going down. Like they are going down. Yeah. Like I look, I take a look at Tampa Bay. Okay. Tampa Bay is a good team, but are you trying to tell me the next year they're going to be better than this year? I'm not so sure. Maybe they will be, because at one point, Sergachev was hurt and Vasilevsky was hurt, but the Islanders, Patrick Walk can coach, but I don't know. I think they're a one-line team, personally. Detroit, they're knocking on the door.
They're on the way up, but they have older. They went to older free agents and older players, and then this is going to work out for them this year. Definitely two teams that were very, very good. Pittsburgh and Washington are on the way down. I don't know how they're going to be a better team next year.
I think the Bruins have overachieved. I think the Bruins have overachieved. And I said this before, I'm going to say it again. If the Bruins play Toronto, I think the Leafs are going to knock them out. I know a lot of people don't agree with me. That's okay.
I offered GC to I take Toronto, and he can decide for how much. So we can.
I'll take Toronto too over Boston. Okay,
perfect.
Hey, Boston with Coyle, Zacha, and Geeky at the center ice position? Really?
Well, no. Well, it's not. I don't. It's very hard to follow into Patrice Bergeron's skates, right? So you're always going to be criticized, and they're doing a good job, but none of them are Matthews. And would Suzuki be the number one center in Boston right now if he was there?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, would Charlie Coyle or Pavel Zacha be would number one centerman on any other team in the National Hockey League?
They'd be very good number two centers in Montreal, both of them. I think. Would Doc be injured?
Yes, they would. Listen,
they've played really well. They've played over their heads.
Coyle's a number three.
Yeah. But they're doing well. And Pasternak is an unbelievable player. The one thing is the leadership of Bergeron in the playoffs going to be missed. And then Marchand is such a good player. But if they get to him, and if he gets heated and undisciplined as the leader of the team, that might be tough for them in the playoffs.
One more question here. Why don't we do that? One more. I think we're done. Are we done? I want to let everyone know. Okay, Phil, I was singing that Zach Benson tune last year with you and before that. So at this point, who do you like in the draft for Montreal this year? Do you know any of the players, Phil?
I don't follow.
You knew Benson because you worked with him, right?
Yeah, well, I was with the Team Canada. I saw them in the summer with the U18 and the national team together, and I was the head of the U17 program. So I don't know the player as well. I think I see a forward, a goal. Again, if they pick, what are they going to pick? 3 to 10 or whatever it might be. It's not a player that's going to play much. Well, I say that, and Benson was picked 11th overall, right, or something like that, and he's in the NHL right now. So I definitely think it's going to be a forward. that I know.
Phil,
that I believe.
Over an hour I kept you. Feel pretty guilty about it, but that's what happens no when problem, our guests bud. Are too good. I kept them on the whole time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All you right, have bud. Yourself a great night, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
All the best to your son with his recovery. There you have it. Philippe Boucher, Marinaro. If you liked it, like it, share it with your friends. Comment sick, S-I-C-K, S-I-C-K. And please leave us a five-star review on Apple. It's our way of feeling the love. Special thanks and special love and a special hello to Energy Transportation Group, as well as to La Bita TB, as well as to Playground, and as well as to Accent Insurance Solutions. And to all of you, our sick army, our sick community, thank you very much. For Aniello, Sammy Giuliana at Master Control, Thursday night, the Bruins beat the Canadians by a score of 2-1 in overtime on a goal by Jake DeBrusque. The Sick Podcast will be back tomorrow night, same time, same place. St. Patrick's Day and the parade on Sunday. Have a great next couple of days and weekend. Matt O'Hane will be in tomorrow night on the Sick Podcast. Ciao for now, but the Sick Podcast will be back tomorrow night, once again at 10 o'clock. For Aniello, Sammy Giuliana, and Master Control, the Cavallaro, I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.